Om Shanti, welcome you all. Hope you had a nice sleep. It's very important after jet lag from different countries. And now we will have a panel discussion which has been facilitated by Brother Tim. And Brother Tim has been with Baba for 25 years. And he is based in Laura Retreat Center, Blue Mountain, Australia. And over to Tim to talk about what is all about today's panel discussion. And we got three beautiful and mature Brahmin for discussing about the topic. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Sister Chitra. So a very warm welcome. Wonderful to be back in Gyan Sarovar. And as you'll know, the topic for this season is Revelation through Harmonizing Sanskars. And the topic that we'll be taking up today under that umbrella is sharing our similarities and celebrating our differences. So I'm introducing our panelists. Over to my far left is Sister Denise. So Sister Denise was the first double foreigner to take Gyan. So she's been in Gyan for more than 50 years now. And mentored by Daddy Janki very closely. And Sister Denise is very prolific. Recorded many, many classes online. Next we have our dear Sister Bhavna. So Sister Bhavna came to Gyan in the 70s in Gujarat with her family. And in 1982, she became the national coordinator for New Zealand and has been there since. And then to my immediate left, we have Sister Maitali. So 21 years in Gyan, and she is based near Colombo and has been living in centres and looking after centres for the last 15 years. I know she has a very particular interest in running personal bhatis, setting herself spiritual goals and applying herself to those. So when we look at the BK family, it's such an amazing variety of souls. You really couldn't find a greater variety of souls. Perhaps I'll offer this to Denise first. So when you look at similarities in our BK family, what's the shared language the BKs?
English?
English?
Well, that is the thing, you know, because the national language, international language of the BKs is Hindi and English. Even it came in the Muralis that God speaks in Hindi and English.
English.
No, English is different. It's like Hongle, you know, this combination of languages, but no. Actually, in the Murali, there are 9 different languages. I hope you realize that. And so, what do we share? It's very interesting you said sharing similarities, as if that's like a good thing, and celebrating our differences, as if sharing and celebrating are kind of opposite things, which they may or may not be, depending on the moment. But we have something called Brahmin culture, which no one has exactly figured out what that is. But culture, you know, Daddy Janki said when we asked her, okay, how do we deal with cultural differences? She says there aren't any. And so actually there are lots of cultural differences. And so one of the things we share is dealing with cultural differences. Because, you know, I tell you an example of a cultural difference which will make you smile. long, long ago when I was a new BK, relatively new, and I was sent to Canada to do service there. And the sister I was with found the 8 feet of snow for 7 months a year rather too cold. So she left for warmer climes. And then another sister came. And so Daddy said to me, well, she doesn't speak English. I said, no problem. I'll teach her English. That's not an issue. And in that way, I also learned Hindi. So that was very good. Then we could speak in Hindi and English, which was a very good sharing of similarities. And when she came, I met her at the airport and I said, Om Shanti. And she said, Om Shanti. And then we realized that was all we knew in common. Everything else was not possible. So then, okay, I brought her home and I said, would you like a cup of tea? And she said, no. So I said, okay. So I made myself a cup of tea and she started to cry. So I said, oh, what happened? She said, you didn't give me a cup of tea. I said, but you said no. So this is a cultural difference. You see, because I didn't know you have to ask 16 times just to make sure that you really mean no. Because, you see, in India you have to say no when you mean yes. And maybe yes when you mean no. You have to understand these things because Hindi and English is not just the only language, but we have to understand the language of what I really mean to say when I say the opposite of what I'm saying, what I mean to say. So you have to figure out what I mean, even if I say something different. So that's very important. We need the third eye for this. So the third eye is a very important thing that we have in common, because we all speak the language of soul consciousness. And we are connected in the heart with each other. We are one family with a million different, I think now 3 million different sanskaras or sets of sanskaras. Nobody really knows how many BKs there are. It could be anywhere from 1 to 3 million. That's a lot of people to have a relationship with. And wherever we go in the world, what we do share in common is we have a home everywhere in the world. And whenever you go into any of Baba's place, you say Om Shanti and smile, and there you have it. The family is connected. And I think another similarity that we have is no matter what the differences are, we're all here because we love the Murali. Right? You love the Murali? Your gops and gopis love the Murali. And we like Shri Baba. Right? And we all use the same name for God, regardless of what our religious background may or may not be. So Baba, Om Shanti, and smiling, that's our language that we have in common. Om Shanti.
So, Sister Bhavna, is there anything that, from your experience, is what's your experience of the shared language of the BKs, regardless of our origins in this life?
Om Shanti. So, I was listening to Denise Ben. She shared very beautiful her experiences. But I would like to explain you little bit Bhakti Memorial. Because in path of devotion, there is a memorial of doing a great dance which called Maharas. Gops and gopis were performing Maharas. What is the meaning of gopi? Go means physical sense organs. Pi means the one who is the controller of the physical sense organs. And when gopis were performing this maharas, lots of similarity were there. Generally, they perform this maharas on full moon day. Today is a full moon day. Yesterday also we did, celebrated with Mohini Ben. So, full moon symbolizes our perfect stage, complete stage, karmatit stage. Whenever gopis were doing this maharas, they used to do in a circle. Doing in circle symbolizes the knowledge of the cycle. How Baba says we have to spin the beginning, middle, end of the cycle. Knowledge of the cycle in our mind. And when we spin this cycle, what happens? We create very powerful fort around us. So Maya, negativity cannot enter. So all gopis had that aim to create that kind of powerful fort. Whenever they were performing dance, their soul were ignited. Means they were merged in God's remembrance. They were soul conscious. They merged into the knowledge. And this is the reason they were experiencing super sensuous joy. Ati indriya sukha. Because they all had that aim. And that aim gave them that beautiful experience. Fourth thing, whenever they were doing dance, they were holding the hands of each other. Every their step, every move, their body, music, everything was in rhythm. That is harmonizing sanskaras, which Baba wants us to do. And last thing, each and every gopis, whenever they performing dance, they were experiencing company of God with them. They are dancing with God. They are dancing with Gopi Vallabha. That is our memorial. When we have that similarity, we will experience Baba's company while performing every action. And that's the way we can able to reveal Baba in this world through our divine actions. Yeah? So when there is a similarity is there, you experience joy. You experience fun in your life. You experience super sensuous joy. You experience the power of gathering. You experience great divine love. So similarity gives that experience. But when there is a differences are there, then we have to work on those beautiful qualities to imbibe in our life. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhavna. So, might I live in as someone in Sri Lanka, perhaps not as much exposed to a broader family, what's your experience of connecting in the language of Brahmins, connecting with the broader BK family?
You know, when I heard the topic, sharing our similarities and celebrating the differences, so I was thinking and exploring about this topic. So I just have simple words. You know, Baba used to say in the Muralis that each soul is different. No? So there are two souls cannot be same, but still we have similarities. How it comes? Because we have one Baba, one Murali, just one direction. Everything is one uniform. So as Dennis Ben was sharing, so this includes that we have one Brahmin culture. So that is where we all, even though the souls have a different journey, so we went around the cycle, taking birth in different places, but still, so as we come to Baba, Baba is uniting everyone into one culture, Brahmin culture. So even though physically the language may be different, but we know Om Shanti, no language, everybody understand. So likewise, it is very interesting. So that is how we all are united under one Baba. Thank you.
Also, in terms of creating a consciousness of similarity, can I ask each of our panelists, and perhaps this time I'll start with Maitali, which virtues do you call upon when there's a situation where there needs to, you know, some similarity, some harmony needs to be created?
For me, I think love and respect. I remember Dadiji. You know, when we, I used to come for the IYF, International Youth Forum, in my early childhood of Brahmin life. So once we, the youth coordinators, we met Dadiji at her cottage. So we prepared the favorite song of Dadiji. Exactly, I can't remember which song it was, but I remember one line. The meaning was, just one Baba and none other. So we all memorized the song. No, it was a small group of youth coordinators. So when Dadiji entered into the in front of us, so we all sang loudly the song. But when that line come, Dadiji pointed out Shiv Baba. It touched my heart because that was the first time I saw Dadiji, and how much love she has for Baba. And because of that love, everybody loves Dadiji. She has no enemies. You know, so I think that love and respect. Even I heard the stories of Sakar Baba and Mama. They all gave, even the little children, Baba used to give respect. No, Dadi Gulzar's story. So they were the small children of 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. But still, the first harvest, Baba feed the children and say, you are the Thakur, the idols. And Baba used to show the pictures of the world map and tell them, you are going to rule the world. That time they didn't understand, they don't know the world map. But still, see how Baba and Mama gave respect. And I also used to think, even 3-4 of us living in the same room, we find difficulties, but how in Baba's period, 350 souls living together, harmonizing with everyone because of the love showered by Baba and Mama. No, they were showering Shiv Baba's love, and all the souls were able to harmonize each other.
Bhavna Ben, the virtues that that you relate to in terms of similarities and creating that harmony.
Yes, I would say love and respect. I share you one example of my life. It's few years back, I was traveling one of the country, and in this country, they don't speak English. You have to speak subtle region language. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it works. So I was in one of the center, and two sisters were there. One sister knew little bit English. Other one did not know much English. So the one who knew little bit English, she went for work. And that evening we had program at center. So I looked in center. There wasn't any trolley or anything which I could not see. So I thought, I am free today, daytime. So I'm happy to prepare some trolley. So when she comes back from work, she doesn't have to do anything. Yeah. So I needed flour to make trolley. So I asked the other lady who was staying in center, do you have white flour? She couldn't understand. She went to garden, brought white flour. And I said, not this one. Flour for toli. You know, I tried to explain different way, but didn't work that nicely. So anyway, then she said, sister, we don't have in center. I said, okay, no problem. We can go to town. We can buy some flour. Yeah? And she took me to the town. And do you know where she took me? To pharmacies. Chemist's shop. I thought, in New Zealand they don't keep, chemist people don't keep any white flour. Yeah? So I said, you go and ask. And then she went inside. She spoke in her lingos. Came back. And she said, no flour. I said, okay, no problem. Now we can go home. And we were driving home. And I saw big supermarket. And then I said, please stop the car here. They will have. And then we both went inside to supermarket. And I showed her white flour. And then she said, oh, sister, plenty at home. Yeah? So nearly we wasted 1.5 hours. We came back home with empty handed. So sometimes language can become a little barrier for Baba's service. Yeah? But still you feel it's your family. It's Baba's house. They are Baba's children. They are doing Baba's service. So when we have that respect, love for them, yeah, then service becomes quite easy. Because we know all Baba's children are there. They all have their own different culture, different nature, different personality, different sanskaras. Like in our hands, you see 5 fingers are there. They are in different shapes, different sizes. Dadi Prakashmani used to tell us little story of this 5 fingers. One day what happened? There was a very, very big argument amongst these 5 fingers. Each and every finger was saying, I am number one. This finger has reason. That I remind everyone God. That's why we say, remember the one who lives up above. So I remind everyone God. That's why I am number one. The second finger is already tallest amongst these 4. So I'm already number one. Third finger we call ring finger. And especially in a Hindu devotion, when they do bhakti, they apply the tilak to the people and idol images with this finger. So this finger has great intoxication that I am used in puja, worshipping. And last finger said, I look very small, but I'm very, very important one. Yeah? Because in Indian mythology, little story is written that whenever gopis and gopi, they went in front of Krishna, they gave the cooperation of this little finger and they uplifted the whole Govardhan mountain. So this finger had that intoxication that I have given cooperation to God. I am number one. And then this thumb said, no, I am number one. Because early days, you can see people were not educated. Even today in Bharat, some of the villages, in name of signature, they put the thumb. So thumb has great intoxication that I sign all important legal documents. That's why I am number one. So they all have their reasons. Yeah, and there was a judge. He has to finalize which one is number one. So judge was very intelligent. What he did, he put the big fruit bowl on table. And then he asked individual finger, go and try to lift the fruit bowl. They all tried. They couldn't even move fruit bowl. And then judge said, okay, now try together. They could able to lift very, very easily. Yeah. And then judge said, no one is lower or higher. You all have equal importance. So sometimes we see people's goodness and appreciate goodness. That also helps us to harmonize our sanskaras. So that's what little story Dadi Prakashmani used to tell us. That's it's a very beautiful story and gives beautiful message. So I would say love, respect and cooperation. You can harmonize sanskaras easily.
So if I offer the same question to you, Denise, in terms of bringing about similarities or harmony, are there particular virtues that resonate with you or that you've used in that situation?
Well, I'll tell you not a story, but a practical reality. And that is that I'm officially a Madhubanivasi, right? I was put here by Dadi Prakashmani some 25 years ago. And I was given a room which had three beds in it. It was a very small, small room, and it was just me. So then Dadi Jenki said, oh, I want to see your room. And she came and said, why don't you get rid of one of the beds? I said, oh, I didn't know you could, but okay, fine. That's good. So then it had two beds. And then a sister was assigned to the room as well. So I welcomed her, and I said, okay, let us divide the room so that, you know, like in the bathroom we had two towel rails. So this towel rail is yours, this towel rail is mine. This is your bed, this is my bed. This is your cupboard, this is my cupboard. And in that way we divided up the room in such a way that we were very comfortable. And because there was never any question of sort of territorial confusion, we could go in and out of each other's territory without any problem at all. And we have lived together 25 years without a single misunderstanding or problem or anything. And naturally, taking care of each other's needs. Are you warm? Are you cold? Do you need light? Do you need fan? All these things are very, very beautifully done. And so this is a practical reality. And it'll probably carry on for the next 30 years as long as we're still alive. Because it's not theoretical, it's practical. And I think that we know a lot of theory, but we also need to be quite creative and intuitive to work out how to work with each other. And everybody has needs and what they like and what they have to have in order to feel okay. So we have to understand what the other one needs and create space for it. And then I've had many interactions and doing programs in Madhuban and working with different departments and so on. And I never had any problem with anyone because, you know, you have your personal ethical policy, and each one has their value. And you need to understand a person's sense of self, and to sustain a person's sense of self, that you appreciate the cooperation that they're giving, the help that they need, the amount of time, lead time they need for some work that you would like someone to do. All of these things, practical realities. And I have found that this has always worked really, really well. You see the person for who they are, not what their so-called job is or their responsibility is, but see the person for who they are, how they're feeling on that particular day. You know, do they need something? They won't say, but you will feel, oh, you need this, you need that, you need more time, you need attention, you need me to sit down and talk to you, you need me to say hello every time I see you. And these little things all add up to happiness. So that's how I operate.
Would you call that being sensitive to the needs of others?
Yeah. I think so, because you know, these are people, if highly sensitive. If you're not highly sensitive, you can't perceive God. Right? Insensitive people can't perceive God. But if somebody's highly sensitive, then they're highly sensitive in many ways. So you have to sense their sensitivity. And everything is communicated in Madhuban by the movement of eyelashes. So you need to know how to move your eyelashes and how to read these things. Because it's very, very subtle. But it works.
Okay, so maybe I'll offer this question to whoever would like to respond first. So in India is a culture that very much celebrates similarities. But for there to be growth, there needs to be innovation. There needs to be difference. So perhaps we're looking now at celebrating our differences. So what are your experiences in terms of the role of difference in growth?
Yeah, whenever there is differences are there, growth is always there. I share my experience. When I went first time out of India, it was quite big change for me. For me at that time was very different culture, different people, different weather, different kind of food. Everything was different than India. Yeah? But I need to work on myself. Whenever any negative thoughts or any other kind of thoughts would come, I try to give myself positive hypnosis, hypnotize. Good thoughts I would give to myself, and I will explain that Baba has sent me here. Dadi has sent me here. That's why I am here. So I don't have to think anything else. Let Baba to work through me, because in India we never ever stay alone in center. Every Indian centers you can see so many sisters are there, but here in West we live alone.
We do everything alone. In West, you have to do every single thing, A to Z. I remember when I was in India, I didn't do much karma yoga or cooking. But when you are in West, you have to do everything. Yes, yeah, so actually, all those things taught me lot of wonderful things. Today, I am on that level that if I have to cook for 200 people, I would not be afraid. I would do straight away. I remember first time when I went to the one of the center, and that was next day was Thursday, and I had to cook bhog. And I didn't know how to make nice bhog for 20 people. 20 people came and I had to make bhog. So I got up 3 o'clock early in the morning and I said to Baba, "Look Baba, I am here because of you. You have sent me here. So now you have to teach me how to prepare good bhog." And I sat down in front of Baba and very, very beautiful touchings were coming. And I wrote down, Baba was giving me the recipe of the bhog. I wrote down in my diary and then I went to kitchen and then I started following whatever things I have written. And later on, bhog turned out quite good and few people asked me the recipe. Yeah, so that's what is Baba. Yeah, so once you leave everything on Baba, Baba is always there to guide you, protect you, to show you the right path. So many, many wonderful experiences I had in last 45 years. Yeah, so that's the way I can see. If I was in India, I would not have done that much progress. But this differences of the things made me to move forward, to learn many wonderful things and enjoy the life. Now I really enjoying life in West because very balanced life is there. You have Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, as well as you doing service. So balanced life, that's what I enjoyed serving in West. Om Shanti.
So I heard this story from few Madhubani Basis. So when there are conflicts or differences in sanskars between two souls, so what Dadiji would say, you know, due to the differences of sanskaras, sometimes we may commit mistake, we may react. So what Dadiji used to say, she gave a very good punishment, you know. So she would say, no service. Go and sit in front of Baba the whole day. Maybe one day, 2 days. It depends on the mistake. So I took it personally for myself. And I appreciated Dadiji. And it was a good learning for me. Because to harmonize the sanskars of Brahmins, it's a big challenge. But it has to start from myself. So I did many, many experiments. Last night I shared one experience with Brother Tim. So let me share that. So once it happened, so I reacted to one Mataji in the center. She made a mistake and I reacted to her. And she started crying. I really felt very bad, you know. So as an instrument, I should not have reacted to her. But due to my old sanskara, it happened. So then I remembered this Dadiji's teaching. So I thought, okay, let me put myself in a bhatti, personal bhatti. So I thought it to have for 21 days. Then I wrote to Nirmala Didiji about this incident, and I wanted to get her blessings. And she said, Maithili, you don't, 21 days is not enough to change the sanskara. When Sakar Baba told Dadiji, Dadi Janki ji, she asked Baba, so I want to escape from Dharmaraj, so what should I do? So Baba told her to sit in 40 days bhakti. So you also have to do that. So this is except the main timings, no, Amrit Vela and evening meditation. The extra time you have to take 40 minutes three times. It means 2 hours extra. So you are dividing into three parts. So then with the courage and with blessings of Nirmala Didiji, so I started this bhakti. You know, the very first 40 minutes I got obstacles. And some VIPs made a call and I had to attend that. Somebody and outside, one BK came, sister, come, one VIP is calling you and you have to come. So likewise, so many obstacles came for this bhakti. And once I had to go out for service, it was a Jyotirlingam program, mega program. So I was invited. So actually, I don't want to express anyone, I don't tell anyone that I'm sitting in a bhakti. I don't like it. I want to do my effort in an incognito way. And after finishing, I will share. Before that, I don't. So I went there for the service also, but I made sure that I sit in this bhakti. And sometimes I didn't get time. So those days, what I did was, I stayed awake night to cover the timings before 12 midnight. So somehow I would cover that. And for this, I took the support of Avyakt Bhaptadas Murali. Now related to this sanskars, so whatever Baba told, I used to churn on that, reflect on that, so that as Mohini Didi was sharing last night, we have to create that eternal sanskars. And what are our sanskars? Baba's sanskars are our sanskars. That's what she told yesterday. So to create that golden aged sanskars and the eternal sanskars, I took the support of Avyakt Bhaptadas Murali and I completed the bhakti very successfully. So what happened was my stage went up. And I was creating that high frequency, you know, the energy level went up. And I was able to accept everyone. I was able to shower love on whoever it is. So it was a big experience, very good, beautiful experiences I had. And not only this, I had many, many personal bhaktis. I don't know whether I have time. Can I share one more or later? Later. Okay, thank you.
So Denise, in terms of difference, we can say innovation, doing something new, so doing something different. Your experience in terms of spiritual growth?
Well, spiritual growth and doing something new, that's different. But, you know, Bap Dada used to say very often, could you please do something new? And we would all put up our hands, all the double foreigners, all the Bharat Vasis, say, yes, we will do something new. And then, innovation is not so strong in the culture of India. Because in the culture of India, the strong belief is that the ancestors are the ones who know, and that all of that knowledge is passed down through the generations. So if you do something new, it's a deviation from something good. So there's a lot of reluctance to have innovation. And then in Western culture, it's different because there's a lot of importance given to innovation, creativity, and doing something completely different. But at the same time, you always have a majority of people who are comfortable with how things are. And there is an expression, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You probably know that one. And so what that means is you get many situations where somebody wants to do something new, which is actually quite good, but it is so different from what people are used to that it's very difficult for them to imagine how it would be if you bring that in, and would there be any loss, and would we be off track, and would we be going against Srimad? So a lot of doubts like this come to new ideas. And so I'm a person who likes new things. And so what I do is I create a small, like a small group of people in a faraway place and off the radar, and experiment with new ideas. Because when you do that, you see if it works, if it doesn't work, you get an opportunity to make improvements, see what corresponds to essential gyan, original gyan, what is off track. And then when you have some kind of final thing that you're comfortable with, and that there are a number of other people who are familiar with it, and then it can be introduced. If you introduce something very new and very good into a very traditional environment, you find that even if it's very good, and even if it's very successful, there's still a lot of concern about it. And so you have to allow something to grow up and to show that it's not dangerous, it's not going to cause any problem, it's going to actually enhance the situation. And you have to allow it to sort of mature with time, maybe 10 years, 15 years, 20 years before it gets introduced. Because by that time, it's become almost like part of the way to do things, you know. I remember the first time we brought video into Madhuban. You know, you can see there's a camera everywhere you look. There's CCTV, there's everything is online, and all the places where you can buy things are copies of something that happens on the stage. But in 1983, it was the inauguration of Om Shanti Bhavan. And the sister who was living with me is a professional film producer and video. We were using video. We had huge equipments because at that time you didn't have little mini cameras. You had big ones, much bigger than these, which we had to carry from America. Big monitors and so on. We brought it in, and my sister insisted that we have a separate battery. And there were one or two other people who brought videos from outside India. And we set up our things, and we were videoing Baba. And there were so many people, oh, you can't video Baba. That's against the rules. That's not kosher, that's not sattva pradhan, that's, you can't do that, you know. It must be, you know, it might be a sin or something. But anyway, we did. And what happened was all the equipment of all the other people fried because the electricity was going up and down. And all of their equipment broke, but our equipment didn't break because we had batteries. And then we got the recordings, and we had them on these enormous cassettes and so on. And then people were talking about it, oh, you know, this is right, this is wrong, this is okay, this is not okay. We're supposed to remember the Murali. If you go back and look at it, maybe that will destroy your capacity for memory. And all of these doubts were there. But When you bring in something new and it's necessary and good and so on, it catches on. Some things, they're new and good and they don't catch on. And so then you have to put them in the back of the drawer and bring them out later when the time is right. So you have to be quite aware about the effect of new things on people who are very wary about bringing in something different, because there's no system for evaluating it. And there is where you also get a difference, like a cultural difference, because it was thought that, you know, we have to be very, very traditional. BK is highly traditional, but God is totally new. He's not at all traditional. And so you have this strange, wonderful combination of all of these who have been doing devotion for 63 births in a very specific way. And then you have Shri Baba come along and say, by the way, you know, I'm not who you think I am. I'm not how you think I am. I don't operate like this. I don't like the things you think I like, and I don't dislike the things you think I dislike. So let me present myself to you. And so we have to give time to allow something new to really be here. That's how it is. Shanti.
So it seems, in terms of our relationship with similarities and differences, that we need both. We need both. Similarities and differences. Perhaps it's a bit like left foot and right foot walking together. Because if we're all exclusively the same, there would be no innovation. I'm reflecting on the three daddies that we remember and love, and I can't think of three people who were more different, and yet they had such harmony. And I'd like to call upon you to share any experience that comes to mind in terms of seeing how the daddies or any seniors managed the balance of difference and similarity.
So when remembering daddies, so each one is a different flower, you know. So Dadiji's speciality is love, and Dadi Janki is wisdom, and Dadi Gulzar is silence. So I used to admire each one. And Manohar Dadiji, she is very special in sharing the Yagya stories. So even while the Murali class is going on, she will just stop and start to share the stories, you know. So each one is different. And Pardadi, Nirmal Shanta Dadi, so I have seen her on the wheelchair, moving around, singing songs like a baby, you know. So, and Lachu Dadi, she is a personal assistant of Baba, feeding him. So likewise, so without each one, you know, so no one can fill the gap. So each one's contribution is important. So the difference is important. And also for the cooperation, for similarities also important, because I have heard the stories of Dadiji and Didi Manmohiniji when they were appointed by Baba as administrative head, working together. There was a saying, you know, I heard that one soul in two bodies. Am I right? Because they were so united. And even sometimes weak is, they feel that, okay, if I go to this daddy, she will give me the answer which I wanted. So they will go to that daddy. Sometimes they will, another person, they go to another daddy. So whomever they are comfortable, they will go. But these daddies, they always check. You know, so they can recognize, and they would say that, okay, if somebody has something, they would say, okay, so I will give you the answer tomorrow. Then these daddies will talk among themselves and then give the unique answer to that particular person. So in Brahmin life, as Brother Tim was sharing, the similarity is also important, the difference. So let me finish this. So it's like an orchestra playing variety of instruments playing together. So that's how I enjoy the Dadi's specialities. And what I try to say is, not only Dadi's, each Brahmin soul is selected by Baba. So each one has specialities. So if we can find the specialities and give love and respect, then we can work together to create the world of harmony. Thank you.
Bhavna, how did you see the Dadis in terms of balancing similarities and differences?
Yes, like Maithili said, all Dadis, they were different in their specialities. They are very unique soul. They are like a foundation of this yagya. So when we are connected with the foundation, then we can able to learn this wonderful qualities of all those dadis in our life, which will help us to harmonize our sanskaras. Because all dadis, they are different, but still they had internal harmony. Harmony between their mind, intellect and sanskaras. Sometimes we think something, we decide something else, and we do altogether something else. So no internal harmony. So when there is an internal harmony, external harmony comes automatically, naturally. So that's what we learn from Dadi's life. To have that internal harmony, then I can able to establish very, very beautiful, truthful, honest relationship with myself. If I am happy, definitely I'll have good relationship with others. So sometimes we blame people, but problem is not there. First, I need to see myself. So internal harmony. They are very good example. Our dadis are very good example of that kind of internal harmony, and that's what we need to learn. Om Shanti.
I think it's a matter of flexibility. There are little metaphors and symbols that people use quite often. You may be glass or grass. So if you're glass, you're absolutely rigid, fragile, brittle, and you break down at the first possible moment and fall in pieces which can never be repaired. That's glass. And so if you're grass, the only thing you have to be careful about is not to be around when two bulls are fighting, because the grass will be destroyed. But otherwise, the grass is very flexible. It moves in the wind, it grows, you cut it, it grows back again, it proliferates, it's quite good. So under normal circumstances, it's good to be grass. But nowadays we're getting into very extraordinary circumstances. We are in times of catastrophic change. You don't know if you'll be able to wake up the next morning, depending on where you are. There's a lot of violence going on. There's a lot of insanity going on. And in the middle of all of that, you need to keep yourself stable, steady, very flexible with circumstances, and I think very attentive on one another. Because one thing that happens easily is people get neglected or left behind or something like this, because you're so busy looking after your own situation. So you have to be careful about the other people, not to let them get into trouble unnecessarily or get sick without anybody realizing there's something wrong. There are many examples of this. And so we have to have a lot of love along with the flexibility. And I think we also have to understand that looking good is not the same as being good. And I think what Baba is teaching us, and what a lot of people ask for when they ask us questions, they say, you know, I want to be authentic. And that means real, that means I want to be really myself. I don't want to be some kind of constructed image and then try and be that image which isn't actually my actual self. And so this authenticity, this love, this flexibility, I think if we go with these three, it's going to be helpful for us to move in the midst of this huge gathering of many different sanskaras. And of course, everybody has a different idea what meditation is, everybody has a different idea what soul consciousness is, who Shiv Baba is, what's a virtue, what's a vice. It varies enormously. But what doesn't vary is the vibration. And when you're really with Baba and really in your power, there's a vibration of spirituality that's really recognizable by everyone. And people are drawn to that. And I think to, you know, give time to maintaining, sustaining and disseminating that vibration is very good service. And it also enables people to synchronize with each other. And then you can be in harmony while being different, and you're really using more of your intuitive powers, and maybe you might even say that yoga power does something to bring people together, where we are harmonious, we are individual, we are for real, we're genuine, we're attentive and loving, and maybe that's a nice way to be.
Thank you, Denise. So I can see that time is moving, time is marching, so maybe just if we can finish with one question. And drawing upon each of your personal experiences, it wouldn't be a Brahman life if we didn't meet challenges. And within that, I'm sure each of us has met with challenges in terms of the differences of personalities. So if each of you could share, how do you handle, or how have you handled coming up against those differences? And how have you handled in terms of, you know, meeting strong personalities and, you know, finding harmony within that?
Of course. So it's a big challenge. And, you know, when you go for service, or even in Madhuban, so there are difficulties in accommodation, 10 people in one room, one need fan, one doesn't need. So like we're so interesting. And I remember Dadiji's experience, Prakashmani Dadiji. I heard few stories about this. So Mohini Didi and Dadiji were together in one room. Mohini Didi won't span and Dadiji doesn't want. So what she does is, she never told her, please turn off the fan. She would cover with her blanket and she will just sleep nicely. So that is Dadiji's thing. And once Dadiji was traveling with few BKs in a train, and after Amrit Vela, she wanted to read Baba's Murali, but everybody was sleeping in the compartment. So what Dadiji did was, she didn't want to disturb anyone, but at the same time, she was very strict on her discipline. She wanted to listen to Baba's Murali as a good student on time. So she covered herself with a cloth and inside with a small torchlight, she was reading Murali. So I learned from Dadiji, we can't be rude to people. So understanding each other, what they need, the companions. So giving, we have to have big heart to accommodate everyone, knowing their needs, likes and dislikes. So I think a little bit of practice, not little bit, we need more practice to accommodate each one. The unlimited or unconditional love will help to accept everyone, like Baba.
Thank you, Maitali Ben.
Just share one experience of Dadi Prakash Mani. It was somewhere in 1976-78, very few Brahmins were there. And one day I was in Madhuban. And in Madhuban there was one new brother. He just recently he surrendered his life to Baba. This person was working in kitchen. And another senior brother was also there in kitchen. So one day he prepared little syrup, sugar syrup for the chai in big pot. And then he left there and he went in his room. And next day, early morning, this new brother came to kitchen. He saw the pot full with the water. He thought it's a water. So he chucked away that water. And later on, this senior brother came and he gave this brother really, really hard time that was a big loss in Baba's yagya. You wasted lot of things in Baba's yagya. You shouldn't be doing this, that. So somehow he got hard time. And this new brother, he was learning lot of things in yagya. And he became really, really very upset, very, very disturbed. And inside, he made that determined thought that next day, I am going to leave to my Laukik place. I don't want to stay here. Yeah? And then what happened, somehow Dadi Prakash Mani got this news. And Dadi invited this brother, new brother, to meet her. And he went to Dadi's room. He was very afraid, very scared. He thought Dadi would also give me a hard time. Yeah, I'm just going to leave anyway. So he went to Dadi's room and Dadi gave this brother such a loving drishti. Dadi asked him, have you had your breakfast? He said, yes. Dadi asked him, everything is okay with you? He said, yes, Dadi. So Dadi did not mention anything about that previous incident. And then Dadi gave him toli. He left Dadi's room. Yeah, and later on this brother realized that Dadi did not say anything to me. Why Dadi did not say anything to this brother? The reason is Dadi knew that the relationship is more important than service. Service is there, it will come and go. But if person will leave, he will not come back again. Dadi realized that part. And through her experiences, Dadi was teaching us that always good to give importance to people first in your life. Service is second priority. Yeah, so sometimes some situation comes like that in front of us. So we have to become little careful. And after that brother did not leave the yagya. He stayed back. Because Dadi gave him lot of love, support and sustenance. And that's what he could remember
And those beautiful quality helped him to change his mind. Yes. So if we imbibe these qualities from Dadi, then we can help many, many people, and we can able to establish that harmonious relationship with others.
So your question is, how do we handle challenges, right?
Your personal experience.
Well, of course, there are tons and tons of challenges from the top, from the bottom, from the side, from the night, from the day, from the lokiks, the alokiks, the paralokiks, everything, you know. And so I think the most helpful way to handle it is to understand that this is a divine comedy. Because if you can see the amusing side of everything, I remember a very interesting, useful tip that Bab Dada gave. He says, you know, I've got as many TVs as there are of my children, and I watch their performances all the time, and it's all of it is cartoons. So I said, yeah, it's true. Most of it is Tom and Jerry performance, most of it. And so I watch Tom and Jerry, and I say, yes, we need a lot of humor. And take it easy, take it light, because it's not really a very big deal. We are super sensitive, but when it comes to these Tom and Jerry things, we have to be quite thick-skinned. And so that's one of the balances that is very helpful. And none of it matters. And even, you know, the very worst possible thing that could ever happen to anybody, they can't remember it longer than 6 months, and then you're back to normal. You know, so even if you lose face, or you get horrible accusations, or blah, 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 all of this stuff, which is absolutely normal, it passes. It's okay, it doesn't matter. No big deal. It's all in the drama. And we love drama, right? Some people say, how exactly is it that drama is perfect? Oh, just keep looking, you'll see the perfection of it. How is it that drama is always accurate? Yes, yes, very accurate. Even all these horrible things, they're very accurate. Because you have to use your power of transformation, use your power to discern the deep, extraordinary wisdom that lies behind each of these amazing scenes, and then you'll be fine. Yes, Om Shanti.
So, if you'd like to join me in thanking our panelists for a varied and, well, we all have similarities, but we've come and shared our differences. So please, a warm round of applause for our panelists.